Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Verses 1 through 17, Exodus chapter 20. Then turning to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Verses 10 through 20, Ephesians chapter 6. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, which is the sword of the Spirit, your word which counsels us, guides us, empowers us, strengthens us in so many ways. Thank you for the opportunity we have of being able to open your word and spend time with you one-on-one each day, and to have the chance for your word to equip us to be the warriors you've called us to be on the battlefield of life. More and more, open our eyes, Lord. Help us as we walk through this election season. Help us to glorify you in the way we approach all that we do, in the way we pray for our country, to pray for our nation, to pray for the upcoming elections, in all that we do. Thank you for how that you're going to guide us by your word and your spirit to honor you in this regard. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer, Rick Robertson, is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time as well.
Father, we come to you today and we lift high your name. We exalt you. We love you, Father, not as much as we should, but we do love you, and we recognize it's because you first loved us, that through your Son on a cross, we have a relationship with you. Father, that's so amazing. And we just say we love you today. And we pray for our listening family with all the needs, whether it's the coronavirus or other health issues or financial issues or relationship issues. God, we pray for them today. We bring our listeners to you and know that that you hear and you respond, and we're thankful for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. I want to remind our listeners that we're still encouraging you, if you haven't already, take time to go and watch the movie In His Image, a documentary produced by American Family Studios. In His Image is a critical and urgent message designed to help equip the church to answer culturally controversial questions about gender and sexuality from a biblical perspective. You can go to inhisimage.movie to watch it for free. Again, that's inhisimage.movie. Hope you'll take the time to watch it. And also, we hope that you take time to forward it to other family members, friends, fellow church members. Encourage others to watch it as well. And you can be a part of this important move to help people to see the movie and be blessed and encouraged and better equipped to be kingdom warriors in addressing these issues that are plaguing and just kind of the challenging issues in our culture today. Also, I'd like to announce to you an upcoming event that's going to happen in here in our home state of Mississippi. We're going to be having a Festival for Life event on Wednesday, November 4th at 7 p.m. And we're encouraging you to come out and be with us. I myself, along with my wife, Birdie, will be spearheading the event. It's going to be at Word of Righteousness Christian Center International in Durant, Mississippi. The pastor is Pastor Cornelius Landfair. The address is 15505 South Jackson Street in Durant, Mississippi. Hope that you can come and be with us. And if you can't come, please pray for the event. A Festival for Life is a multimedia event that uses movie clips, music videos, and movie trailers to help share a biblical message about encouraging the church, that encourages the church to aggressively come alongside and work with the great ministry of local pregnancy centers, and also cheers the need for the church to become much more aggressive about standing for life. Hope that you'll take time to do that and get involved. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Today, we're honored to have with us in studio once again, Victory Holofield, who's also going to co-host today.
Good morning.
And help us pray. And our own producer as well, Rick Robertson, is going to be praying with us today as we look specifically at the topic, God's Word, Politics, and Discernment. But Victory, are you doing well today?
I'm blessed. Happy to be here.
Good
Thank
to have
you for
you.
Allowing me to join you, Rick and Pete.
Okay. It's always an honor to have you come in and help us in the studio. So as we begin, let me say to our listeners today, I'm going to be sharing some articles that we put on the AFA Stand. And of course, the AFA Stand is one of the social media mediums that we use to help share truth and to read articles on the stand. Go to afa.net. Again, that's afa.net. And these articles that we'll be sharing today deal with different topics. All these articles, of course, can be found on the stand, but hope that you'll find them encouraging and strengthening to you in your walk with the Lord. And as we begin, we're looking at an article. The first one is entitled God's Word, Politics, and Discernment. And we open with the scripture, Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 119, verse 105. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. 1 John 4, verse 1. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Hebrews 5, verse 14. And then, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Present-day political races are not about being a Democrat or a Republican. It's not about left or right. It's not about conservative or liberal. It's not about being racist or not racist. It's about good or evil. It's about what is right and what is wrong. It's about what lines up most closely with the Word of God or what in greatest measure goes against the Word of God. Mm-hmm. One may ask, well, if these issues are true, how can you have people who say they love the Lord on both sides of the political aisle? How can believers be on both sides of the present day political picture? One critical word that helps us to see and understand matters correctly is discernment, specifically biblical discernment. What does God's word have to say about the cultural issues that guide people in their thinking and their perspectives? And what are the cultural issues that help people to decide who they'll support and vote for? The reality is, so many believers have not sought to diligently determine what lines up most closely with God's word. Many have not bothered to do due diligence to find out and really research the issues in relation to the counsel of God's word. The truth is, many believers, sadly, are spiritually dull. They really have no great commitment to finding out what honors God and what doesn't. Many simply go with the flow of the crowd they run in. How then have many decided on how they'll vote and support candidates? Sadly, many have made this determination not by prayer and the study of the Word of God in relation to issues, but have made their decisions based on their personal preferences, their family traditional political persuasions, and their community norms and perspectives, etc. Some even decide these decisions on whims and feelings. Sadly, some people vote for extremely shallow reasons. I don't like his looks. I don't like his personality. I don't like her wardrobe. These and other reasons, sad reasons, silly reasons, are reasons sometimes people vote. In reality, for too many, the Word of God has little to no influence in their decision making. How tragic. It is for these and other related reasons that some people who say they love God will find themselves on the completely wrong side of issues. They find themselves acting and voting against the Word and the will of God. A true disciple and follower of Jesus Christ is to be guided by the Word of God, period. No other allegiance is to come before his or her commitment to Christ and God's Word. In the matter of lining up to support an issue or a candidate, it's the responsibility of a follower of Christ to find out what God's word says about a matter. Once this person knows what the word of God says, then this individual should decide where he or she stands so as to align with God's word. For the true follower of Christ, the word of God is always the bottom line, always. There are no perfect candidates running for any office in our nation. The only perfect man is Jesus, and he's not running for office. He is God, and we don't vote on that office. So a wise and God-honoring strategy for voting is to look at the person's character as best you can. Look at what that person stands for. Find out the party platform that this individual supports and lines up with. Also look at his or her track record or history. See what this person has done in the past and observe what the candidate is doing today. Know too that a person's vote is a seed. It's a tool to help accomplish a given task. So how each vote is actually cast is very, very important. When we vote for a person, we're seeking to help that person come into a position of leadership, a position of influence that can affect the lives of many people. So whoever we vote for, we're taking responsibility for helping that person do what he or she seeks to do. In other words, we take responsibility for what that person does in office once we vote for him or her and that person takes office. So as you vote for candidates in any given election, ask yourself this question. Am I supporting and helping a person who seeks to honor God in the way they will govern off in that office? Or am I going to be an accomplice to a crime or a wicked action or activity? We are each wise to take the word of God in evaluating the candidate, their lives, and what they stand for. God's word is the bottom line. Father, as we all vote in the coming days, anoint us with wisdom, grace, and insight. Help us to honor you in the way we do that. We thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
So caught up that I couldn't find a way out, find a way out, yeah. exhausted all my ways, all my ways, and all the noise begins to fade. It's you, then everything else just falls in line. You, you will always hold this heart of mine. It's you, it's you, Lord, it's you, then everything else just falls in line.
Music of Toby Mac, It's You. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. My co-host today is Victory Holofield, and we're going to be praying through some issues that relate to our upcoming elections, praying for our nation and for our culture as well. And so as we begin this segment, I'm going to ask if Victory will take time to specifically pray about some of the matters that we addressed in that article. And afterwards, Rick Robertson, our producer, is going to pray as well.
Absolutely. That was a good article, by the way, Pastor Parker. Praise stay humble. God. That was really good.
Praise God.
Father God, I just thank you. I thank you for people like Pastor thank Parker, you, Lord, and the American Family Association, Lord, who takes pride in being a part of the culture. Because, Lord, it is the politics and it is the government, Lord, that makes laws that affects us all. Father, I just ask right now in the name of Jesus for every listener that is listening right now, I ask, Lord, that you would convict all of our hearts, Lord, and to aim to not listening to the mainstream media, but to do our own homework, Lord, and to vote according to your word. No one is perfect by no means. And I love in the article Pastor Parker wrote, Jesus is not up for election. Come on now. He is not. I wish he was. But, Lord, I just ask, Lord, that you would help us to vote in a way, Lord, that will still give us our religious liberties, that will honor you. Father, you will hold us accountable, yes, by whom we vote for. Because whatever we vote for, we're saying that I agree with their platform. I agree with their views. And Lord, both of them aren't the best, of course not, but one is way more immoral than the other. And Father, I just ask that you would lead and guide us, Lord. Help the church rise up and to not have division among us, Father God. Help us to rise up and to fight for our liberties that was given to us by our founding fathers. Help us not to take this election lightly. Help us, Lord, to take pride in the fact that what we choose affects our children and our grandchildren, Father. Lord, I ask you this as humbly as I know how. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Father, we are thankful for this country that we live in and the freedoms that we enjoy. And Father, we confess that we take those for granted so many times. And Father, at this critical time, which feels like such a critical time in our nation, God, we pray that you would stir the hearts of your people across this nation, yes, to live for you, to cast themselves on you, to rest in you. We pray for the church to be involved in the election, Father. We feel like that's something that would line up with your word. That would be what you would want us to do, that you would not want us to be apathetic or just negligent, Father. Help us as a church to gather at the polls and vote for people and issues that bring you much honor and much glory. We're thankful, Father, that we can look at any situation, this election, this country, and know that you are the great backdrop, that you're the sovereign God who's very much in control. So we don't pull our hair out or scratch our heads, Father, as we approach this election. We just rest in you, and we ask that you do a mighty work here in this nation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. And Father, to thank you once again, Lord, for the opportunity we as your people have of being able to pray about every issue, every concern, every matter in all of life. Help us to recognize, Lord, and to remember that you are sovereign over everything, every situation, every concern. And Lord, help us to be wise enough to recognize that every part of life is important and you're sovereign over it. You are Lord over every part of life, including politics. Help us to not be so foolish as we think that Christians should not be involved, but help us to know, Lord, that believers are called to honor you and walk out your will in every area of life, including politics. Lord, raise up more and more believers who love you, who are committed to you and committed to your word and committing to honoring you in the way that they do all that they do, including lead and provide governing leadership in the name of Jesus, Lord. And Father, Lord, so we're just believing you, Lord. We're asking that you'd flood this whole election with your Holy Spirit. Flood it with your mercy and your grace. And we're believing you, Lord, to place in office the people you want to be in office. Mm-hmm. And Lord, we're believing and asking that you remove people that should not be there in the name of Jesus. People who don't honor you, who don't want to glorify you in the way they do what they do in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
And just a reminder again, the articles that we're sharing today can be found at afa.net, again on the AFA stand. And that first article is entitled God's Word, Politics, and Discernment. And I would encourage you, please take time to go and download them and both read them again and share them with others as well. This next article is entitled Life and the Litmus Test. The term litmus test is used very often in our political culture. One definition of a litmus test is a test that uses a single indicator to prompt a decision. It's a tool that many politicians and people use to select who or what they will support and or vote for. Normally, a litmus test involves a matter about which people will have some very serious and strong convictions. So, should people who consider themselves to be believers in Jesus Christ have a litmus test about supporting life and taking a stand against abortion? Should they use such a test to decide whether or not to support and vote for political candidates? The answer is a profound yes. Though litmus tests are usually frowned upon because they tend to be oriented around a single factor, there are reasons for their use that are simple and profound, especially when considering the issue of life in the context of the abortion debate. For instance, one of the Ten Commandments clearly says, "You shall not murder," Exodus 20, verse 13. This commandment is very clear and straightforward. Bear in mind that the Word of God does not change. Even if you choose to use words or terms like abortion, a woman's right to choose, reproductive rights, euthanasia, etc., it still is murder to take innocent life. Changing the name or the title by which you describe a given action doesn't make it any different from what it is. Again, it's important to understand the will of God does not change. No matter what you call it, it's still murder. It's still taking innocent life. If a leader is not willing to stand up to protect and respect the life and civil rights of the most innocent and helpless of his or her own citizens, what does it matter what he or she believes about the economy, job creation, foreign policy, or anything else? If a given person is dead, none of these issues matter at all to her or to him. If a candidate believes that an entire segment of the population can be legally murdered, such as babies in the womb, what does that say about that candidate's character? Doesn't it actually say a lot? And if that candidate thinks it's permissible, even desirable, to slaughter one particular group legally today, what might he or she think tomorrow? How can we know that the candidate who favors murdering the unborn today may decide that it's acceptable to destroy a segment of our population that includes you tomorrow? Think about it. Sadly, this has happened too many times in history. It's used terms like ethnic cleansing and the like. So if a particular candidate is not willing to stand up and boldly defend the most innocent and helpless citizens of their nation, what does that tell you about that person's character? Should believers have a litmus test for deciding whether or not to vote for a particular candidate? I would say no question about it. Yes, we should have a litmus test for life. Father, thank you, Lord, for the privilege and the honor you give us in the body of Christ to be able to stand up for life. You told us in your word to choose life that we and our posterity might live. Help us to recognize, Lord, that the life issue is a towering issue above so many other issues in our culture. And help us to know, Lord, that it's a critically important issue in your heart. That these babies are your babies and they belong to you, and you're very grieved at the tragic reality behind abortion and the fact that over 60 million babies have been slaughtered over a period of many years in our nation. Stir us as a people to recognize how serious this issue is in your heart and in your mind, and help us as the church to boldly stand up and do what you'd have us to do to help end the tragedy of abortion in our nation. Help us to pray wisely. Help us to act wisely. Help us to vote wisely towards that end. Help us to vote only for candidates that will stand for life and against the tragedy of abortion. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. This time, Victory's going to share a word of prayer.
Yes.
As well.
Man, Father God, I just second everything Pastor Parker's already said, God. Lord, I ask that you would give us all, us as believers, a heart after your heart, Lord. And it is without a doubt, I know that you care for the most innocent, which are babies, Lord. And even when they are out of the womb, Father. And Lord, I just ask right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would give us all a desire, Lord, to want to stand firm on truth in your word and to be bold about it. Lord, for we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Lord. Help us to not just be lazy and not say anything and not stand for something. Help us to speak boldly and not only speak boldly, but help us also to vote according to our convictions which are based upon your word. Father, help us not to take this lightly, God. Lord, I'm just hurt over how many believers right now are they're just not being involved, or they're just, and we haven't done the best job as the church of being involved in the things of the culture, Lord. And I just ask that you have the church to rise up, Lord, because I'm going to tell you, the liberals are definitely rising up and they are fighting. Lord, I ask that you would help us, Lord, to do the same thing, but with your word, Lord. The most powerful thing that we can ever do is fight according to your word. When someone says, how can I come against the culture? And when they're a believer, one thing I always say is you come with them with the word of God. It is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Nothing can beat the word of God. And Lord, I just ask that you would help us to do that, Lord. Help us to lean on the Holy Spirit, because we are only flesh, and I know that we don't always do things right, but when we lean on the Holy Ghost, who will lead and guide us in all truth, God, I know, Lord, that your will be accomplished. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Now, producer Rick Robertson is going to share a word of prayer as well.
Father, we're so thankful that we can come to you today and that you have such broad shoulders to take on any problems that we have. And Father, there is a problem, a gigantic problem in this nation with the death of so many little babies. God, we're thankful for the mercy that you've shown us, Father. But we pray that you would embolden your people across this nation to react to that issue in a way that brings you much honor. Mm-hmm. Father, we pray that you would take blinders off. So many people have been desensitized to this issue. And we pray that you will open up their eyes to the seriousness of taking the life of a little baby.
Yes, Lord
God, we just pray that you would work in your people across the nation. We pray for the pastors. We pray that you will give them great courage to speak on this issue, that they would not be timid about that, but that they would speak the things that you would want them to say, the things that line up with your word.
Yes.
In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Victory and Rick. The next article we're going to share is entitled Courageous Servants, Cowards, and the Church. And again, each of the articles that we're sharing are found on the AFA stand at afa.net. Again, we're encouraging you to take time to go and download them and use them in whatever capacity the Lord puts on your heart to do so. Again, this article, Courageous Servants, Cowards, and the Church. In a short, very interesting and powerful story from Exodus chapter 1, verses 15 through 22, we see two young women with a dilemma who turn it into an opportunity to glorify God and his creation. Exodus 1:15 through 21. Then Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, gave this order to the Hebrew midwives, Shiphrah and Puah. When you help the Hebrew women as they give birth, watch as they deliver. If the baby is a boy, kill him. If it is a girl, let her live. But because the midwives feared God, they refused to obey the king's orders. They allowed the boys to live too. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives. Why have you done this? He demanded. Why have you allowed the boys to live? The Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, the midwives replied. They are more vigorous and have their babies so quickly that we cannot get to them in time. So God was good to the midwives, and the Israelites continued to multiply, growing more and more powerful And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. Again, Exodus 1, 15 through 21. Picture them, Shiphrah and Puah, two ordinary women who had the job of being midwives. Their job was helping pregnant mothers during the delivery and birthing of their babies. Then one eventful day, Pharaoh gives them a strong, very clear order. He directs them to deliberately kill all the Hebrew baby boys as they are born. It does not seem that he gave them any reasons why they were to do it. He simply commanded them to do this. The Word of God tells us very clearly, but because the midwives feared God, they refused to obey the king's orders. They allowed the boys to live, Exodus 1:17. Well, in time, the Pharaoh realizes that the baby boys were not dying. So he calls in the two midwives and confronts them, asking why they were allowing the baby boys to live. Shiphrah and Puah gave this response. The Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. They are more vigorous and have their babies so quickly, we cannot get there in time, Exodus 1:19. Well, what did Pharaoh know about birthing babies? He probably knew little to nothing about the world and business of delivering babies. We're going to pick up on the other side with the rest of this article. You're listening to the Hour of Intercessions. We're sharing articles from the AFA Stand. We'll be right back.
Our Father, which art in heaven, yeah, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us.
Music from the Walls Group, The Prayer. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. My co-host today is Victory Holofield, and we, along with our producer Rick Robertson, are praying through issues and concerns that are being addressed in articles from the AFA Stand that we're sharing today. Again, I'm continuing with an article entitled Courageous Servants, Cowards, and the Church. Well, what did Pharaoh know about birthing babies? He probably knew little to nothing about the world and business of delivering babies. So God in his sovereignty gave Shiphrah and Puah grace and wisdom enough to outsmart the great Pharaoh. So he ended up having to change his whole strategy in getting rid of the Hebrew baby boys by declaring them to be cast into the Nile River, Exodus 1:22. These two courageous women stand as outstanding role models of bravery for people who follow the Lord for all time, even in a time of crisis. They courageously stood against the orders of the man who, by the world's thinking, may have been considered the most powerful man in the world at that time. The great king of Egypt, Pharaoh, gave an order, and they deliberately disobeyed that order. Why? Because the midwives feared God, Exodus 1:17. They stood up for what was right without knowing what the outcome would be. That's courage. They chose to honor God more than a human ruler. They put the will of God before the will of men. That is boldly standing for God, His will, and His word. Shiphrah and Puah, here in this story, teach by example how to stand up for what is right. They are showing us boldly that it is right to stand up for right and stand against wrong. They feared God and knew in their hearts that killing innocent babies was wrong. They didn't even have the Ten Commandments as of yet. Moses around this time was just a baby boy that was born early in the book of Exodus, but hadn't come on the scene as of yet. pastors, ministers, and believers in the body of Christ today can learn some very powerful lessons from Shipra and Pua. We in the church today stand as ambassadors for the kingdom of God, and we're to be guided and counseled by God's word. Joshua 1 verses 6 and 7 tell us, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go." Again, Joshua 1, 6, and 7. Today, governments and governmental leaders, sadly, have told us that it is all right to kill babies in the womb. The government tragically protects and promotes abortion. They tell us that it's a woman's right to choose and that women have reproductive rights. God is looking for Shippers and Puas today. He's looking for people who fear Him. He's looking for believers who obey His word. He's looking for believers who know what His word clearly says about first seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness, Matthew 6:33, and not murdering, Exodus 20:13. God is looking for believers who will courageously stand up and be counted to stand up for His word and for His babies. Well, what does it mean to stand up for God and to stand up for His children? Well, it can mean many things. Number one, pray daily for the spirit of boldness for believers so we will courageously follow the Lord, be disciples, and faithfully make disciples. Pray for the ending of abortion in our nation and in our world. And number two, pray much for the ministries out on the front lines of spreading the gospel and standing for life. There's never a time to apologize for or shrink back from standing on the Word of God, for following the Word of God, or for speaking the Word of God. God's Word is our guidebook, our instruction manual for all of life. We're not ever to decide that disobedience to God's Word for any reason is okay. Why do we see so many persons who say that they love God, yet are not involved with the work of spreading the gospel, making disciples, or speaking out against the killing of innocent children in the womb? Sadly, the reasons are varied and numerous. Tragically, too many believers have opted not to walk courageously. In fact, too many believers are acting like cowards. One might say that's a little bit strong, isn't it? Not really. The reality is that many among us who say they love the Lord walk and act as cowards every day. And the reality is the truth sometimes hurts. But very often, it needs to be said because the truth helps us to see ourselves for who we are and where we stand. And once we see ourselves, if we are not who we should be, we can repent and ask God to help us to step up to where we should be. Today, too many pastors walk as cowards when it comes to what and how they are preaching and teaching from the pulpit. Many church leaders choose to stay away from issues and topics deemed controversial. Too often church leaders shy away from challenging believers to live sacrificially. Why? Well, it's easier to not ruffle feathers in the pews, or if we stay away from quote-unquote controversial issues, and if we avoid encouraging believers to sacrificially serve the Lord Jesus. Too often leaders or church people will say things like, we don't want to offend anyone. The gospel of Jesus Christ is offensive. Preaching the truth is offensive. Clearly preaching the Ten Commandments and telling people what is right and what is wrong is or can be offensive. Too many believers don't seem to believe. And too many who say they love the Lord live as cowards and cowardly lives. Sometimes a little inconvenience or awkwardness can cause many a believer to shy away from sharing the gospel or giving out a gospel tract or speaking out for life. The last time I tried to give someone a gospel tract, the man I offered to give it to said he didn't want it and he was very rude and he really embarrassed me. Should I still witness in public when people sometimes act like that? Someone might ask. Well, the Lord Jesus, in order to save us, went through quite a lot for us. Christ allowed himself to be slapped, beaten, abused, publicly humiliated, and ultimately crucified. Since our blessed Savior went through all this for us, can we not simply go through a small degree of sacrifice, inconvenience, and discomfort in service to Him? When it comes to standing for and preaching about life, sadly, cowards abound. Often pastors say things like, I don't want to hurt the feelings of my parishioners, or people will get offended if I talk about or preach about this. Consider what happens when we as preachers of the gospel and followers of Christ as a whole don't preach or teach a sheer truth people die in their sins, and people who think sometimes who think they're on their way to heaven are actually going to die and go to hell. Also, babies die by the cruel means of abortion, and people who have had abortions walk into devastating life and lifestyles due to the aftermath of having had an abortion. Men and women who go down this road experience extreme regret, depression, often heartache, nightmares, and sadly, sometimes suicide. We're called to preach the truth, and it's truth that sets people free. Again, Shipra and Pure are outstanding role models for the church today when it comes to being courageous in the way we follow our Lord. Every pastor, preacher, and every believer should ask, am I a courageous follower of Christ, or am I a coward? As Matthew 17:20 tells us, therefore by their fruits you will know them. Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity you give us of being servants that you can use to spread your gospel and to stand for life. Lord, anoint us today with a spirit of boldness. Anoint us today with a spirit of courage. Help us to be a courageous people that you can use in any circumstance, because we're willing to say, yes, Lord, whatever you're calling us by your word and spirit to do. Thank you for the chance to be vessels like that, and empower us to be a people to live a lifestyle of courageous obedience each and every day. Stir us, Lord, to recognize that's how we follow Jesus, courageously and obediently every day. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. At this time, Victory is going to share a word of prayer with us as well.
Father, I just ask that you will humble us. Humble us, Lord, to not go by what we think, but to go by what your word says. Father, your word says in Proverbs 3:5-6, it says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all thy ways to acknowledge you, and you will direct our path. Father, help us to inquire of you in absolutely every part of our lives. Father, even concerning voting, Father, I ask that you would lead us to love you so much that we would ask you, Father, which way should I vote? Which way, whom is it that will honor you, that honors you best to the best of their ability, Lord? Because we are all human beings we need you, Lord. Yes. Father, your word says in 2 Corinthians 5:9, whether we are home or away, let it be our aim to please you, Father. And I ask that you would help us, Lord, to have the passion to mourn and hurt over the loss of babies.
Yes,
to have a passion to hurt over just all the immorality that is occurring in our world, Father. Lord, they're trying to legalize marijuana in places. My Lord, they're trying to legalize allowing little children to change their sex if they choose to do so. Thank Father, you. I ask, Lord, help us, Lord, yes, to be Lord. Bold Jesus, about standing Lord. On your word.
Yes,
Father, you said Jesus. That those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So let me tell you something, Father. I just ask right now that those who are listening right now, Lord, help them to not be led by themselves, by their own intellect, because we're not honoring your word. Help us to be led by you, Lord, in every aspect of our lives. And Father, help us to repent for the times when we went on our own mind, our own way of thinking, Lord, and voting in a way that did not honor you just because, like Pastor Parker said, because of their outfit or how they look or something stupid like that, Lord. Lord, help us to repent of that, and from this day forward to vote and to have views that are based according to your word, yes, Lord. I ask you this as humbly as I know how. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And our producer, Rick Robertson, is going to share a word of prayer as well.
God, we thank you for this opportunity to come before you today. Imagine us sinners being able to come before a holy God like you, and we recognize it's because of your precious Son, Jesus, that we come clothed in his righteousness. Father, we pray for a spirit of boldness in Christians the days leading up to the election. Nudge them along, Father, to engage in conversations about the hard things, the things that they know are true, but they don't want to hurt someone's feelings. Mm-hmm. Father, we know that you've not given us a spirit of fear, but Father, you've given us boldness, and you promised to do that. So we ask you to empower us to say the things that would bring you honor and glory, say those hard things in the days before the election, and that they would be received and responded to in a way that honors you. In Jesus' name I pray, Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you again, Victory and Rick. And, you know, didn't get through nearly as many articles as I had hoped to. But again, there's so many issues surrounding the upcoming elections. It's very important for us to pray much for our country, for our government, and for the elections, and to vote in a way that we honor the Lord as well. Mm-hmm. One of the articles we didn't get to, but I want to encourage you to take time to go and read, is called Pray for the Police, Law Enforcement, and Our Nation. And it's one that reminds us of that. In spite of the tragedy that many people are trying to call for the defunding of the police, that the police and law enforcement are a God-ordained part of our culture and our government, and we're to respect them, and we need to pray much for our police officers as well. So we want to encourage every believer again, please take time to go to afa.net. Again, that's afa.net, The Stand, and you can get some of these articles and just many other articles that deal with different topics that help to better educate us about applying truth to your life and living it out each and every day. So, and also would mention this article, Pray for the Police, Law Enforcement, and Our Nation. It's based on Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. So go be sure and take time to read that passage, because it speaks very clearly to authority and government and how we're to see it, including law enforcement. And remember, police and law enforcement have one of the toughest jobs in the world. We should pray every day for the police and for God to raise up many more Christian believers to serve in that capacity, men and women who honor Him. Father, we thank You once again for the opportunity for us to pray for our nation, for our government, for our leaders, for those who are in authority. Father, thank You for the church and the chance for us to use the powerful weapon of prayer to help change things and move things in the right direction. Anoint Your church afresh with the spirit of prayer. Empower us to be the praying and interceding church You've called us to be, and help us to use this weapon wisely daily. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Victory, for being with
thank
us today.
Thank you. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
And thanks, Rick, for your help today as well.
Glad to help.
And thank you for all of our listeners. We're hoping and encouraging every single listener, pray very seriously every day much between now and the election. In fact, I would challenge you to pray and fast. Pray and fast for the Spirit of God and the will of God to be done mightily through every election in every capacity. And pray much for our nation, our government. We need that prayer. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.